Up next on the program, it's time for our weekly visit with author, critic, our friend Colin Fleming, talking a little Charlie Brown on this Tuesday. Colin, good afternoon.
Greetings, Mr. Kimball.
How are you on this fine day?
Oh, okay. A little bit chilly, but all right.
All right. Well, we want to talk about Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, the Peanut special. That's a little different from the rest. This one came out, I think, in the early 70s, and this was sort of the second generation of those Peanuts voice actors.
Exactly. This would be 1973, and so it's the third holiday special. Everyone knows the first two, right? Charlie Brown Christmas, and It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. There were other specials in between. They just weren't holiday-themed. There was a baseball one, there was Charlie Brown Falling in Love, and so this is actually your 10th overall animated production of the Peanuts. But yes, it's very much Mark II in terms of the era. You have different voice actors, you have a different look, a different feel, a different mise-en-scene, very different from what you would know from those first two holiday specials.
And there's always a little bit of darkness in those Charlie Brown specials, but this one maybe more so. You've got the whole Lucy pulling out the football from Charlie Brown, the whole conceit of Peppermint Patty inviting herself to dinner at Charlie Brown's and then not being happy at all with the meal. And so not everything is sunshine and lollipops for Thanksgiving with that crew.
That's how it is, though, really, in every sort of Charlie Brown, well, I don't really want to call it an adventure, but misadventure kind of stroll through life. I think that's why these specials age so well. It's because they mesh very distinctly with what we often experience at, well, let's take this one, at the holidays, Thanksgiving. We all know, going to be with family, most of us, that one of the themes of Thanksgiving is what I think of as appeasement. You are going to stick a bullet in the back of your mouth every now and again and be like, okay, this guy, here we go again, he's starting. And you're like, oh, just get through it. And then I think, you know, that's really what Charlie Brown is contending with when Peppermint Patty, like you said, invites herself over to his place for Thanksgiving dinner. And he tries to basically improvise rather than saying, like, look, you're so pushy, Peppermint Patty. Leave me alone. Go away. You're not welcome here. He just tries to extemporize basically a meal, which is out in the back with like table tennis, Snoopy, Woodstock, toast, which is basically like the height of his culinary skills. And I think really what we have after we get done with appeasement, and we all experience this a lot at Thanksgiving, is post-appeasement, where you're like, okay, this isn't so bad. I'm settling in. This person has stopped giving me grief about whatever decision I've made in my life, or that person who's no longer with me that they like so much. And you're like, this is actually okay. I'm having a nice time. And that's what ends up happening to the Peanuts gang.
Also, too, the adults are always far on the periphery in most of these Charlie Brown specials. But in this one, they play a role in the sense that Grandma reminds them that they've all been invited, and she invites Peppermint Patty and Marcy and the rest of that crew.
Grandma essentially saves the dinner day, if you will, by rescuing Charlie Brown when he phones her up. She doesn't have a house, as he points out. She has a condominium. And he says, well, Peppermint Patty and Marcy are here, and I don't really know what to do. And she says, well, bring the whole lot of them over. Of course, she doesn't actually. Adults never get to speak right in the Peanuts world. But that's sort of the solution. And then Snoopy and Woodstock, who really comes into his own in this special, get to have their party. But realize, Woodstock, like when you go to the CVS and you see like Christmas mugs of the Peanuts gang and there's Woodstock like buzzing around the tree, he didn't exist then. That's made up. That's basically like bootleg. So this is really where we're seeing Woodstock for the first time. And I think it's notable, too, to look at the differences, not just in the voice actors, but in what what's billed in the credits as the graphic blandishment. If you look at the first two specials, you can freeze the frames, basically. You could put them on the wall at MoMA. The artistry, it looks like pastel. It's striking, almost like, or when de Kooning would use like a roller rather than just a brush. And you get to the edge of the frame and like the color kind of gives out, and you see like some white coming through as the background, because basically the color has already had its say, and it's just this very naturalistic sort of coloristic expression. Here, 1973, it's more like colored ink. It's more oily almost. And also you have a different kind of musical soundtrack where it's less somber, I'd say. And you're seeing elements of like soul really come into the soundtrack.
And also we touched on it last week briefly with you, as Woodstock comes into his own, there is that dark element of cannibalism.
Yeah. Woodstock always, he's a fiery little dude, and he is a guy. So I'm not like misgendering him. Charles M. Schulz said he's a guy after he made up his mind, and he is named after the famous festival. But he has some sort of crises of the soul, does Woodstock. Like, for instance, he can't fly upright like a normal bird. So you'll notice at the end of the special, which is on tomorrow night, that he basically has like this dust-up with Snoopy, and he gets launched through the air. And he has this giant smile on his face because for whatever reason, his trajectory has made him fly for this moment like a regular bird. He's digging this. This is fun. You always have like this sense of a chip on his shoulder with Woodstock. So he's sitting there with Snoopy. They're eating the turkey, and he's just going to town on his fellow bird. And Snoopy gives him this look like, dude, that's intense. And Woodstock's like, yeah, fill up my plate again, bad boy. Let's do this.
We had, it was a real treat, a couple of years ago on the show, we had Sally Dreyer on with us, and she was in Charlie Brown Christmas. She didn't play Lucy then, but the producers, Lee Mendelson, came to her and said, you know, you're kind of crabby in real life. We think you could be Lucy. And for It's the Great Pumpkin and several of those other late 60s specials, she was the voice of Lucy. And maybe it's because I grew up with them, but those originals, Peter Robbins as Charlie Brown, Christopher Shea as Linus, Sally Dreyer, to me, that second and the third generation voice actors never were quite the same.
No, I don't think so either. When you see, and I almost wonder that they just didn't budget enough time in looking for apt voice actors after that first wave, because they're so spot on in the early run. And here, even in this one, the special is succeeding despite the voice actors, I think. When you think about, to me, it is still the most galvanizing, emotionally intense moment in all of American television when Linus gives his speech from Luke in Charlie Brown Christmas. And think of it now in your head, as I mentioned, cadentially, you can hear those mannerisms, those upticks, the sibilance in Linus's voice. It's almost like a song playing in your head, and you don't have that after the first wave. And I think, too, that sound, especially Linus, it really anchors these specials, and we see it even in the Thanksgiving one, what is, to me, their thematic root, and that is the nature of faith. And faith, not a religious faith, but faith in something that if you keep doing what you should be doing, even if it's difficult, it will ultimately work out. And so I think one of the tenets then of faith is forbearance. And that can just be biting your tongue at the Thanksgiving table. It can be, okay, I'm going to make Peppermint Patty happy here, and we'll go to Grandma's later. That'll be fine. Get through it. I'll deal with Linus later when he's whinging about the Great Pumpkin and how he didn't show up and didn't put in the call for Thanksgiving. And, yeah, faith and forbearance. And I think that's why this special works. Maybe not at the level of the other two. Certainly not at the level of the other two. But it's still eminently watchable.
And it was, I believe it was Charles Schulz himself who suggested when they were getting ready to do a Charlie Brown Christmas that they use children as voice actors. Don't use, which in the past it had almost always been adults who could do those kid voices. But he said, no, I want kids. And I really want kids who aren't professional actors.
Right. And he had his nickname of Sparky. It wasn't because he was like, oh, I'm a spark plug who lights up the room. It was because he was difficult. And he was acrimonious and he was stubborn. And for instance, he was going to pull that special when the network didn't want Linus doing his speech from Luke.
Right.
Can you imagine now trying to get that greenlit? That would just be, you could put on something on TV espousing something heinous faster than you could get on something now with line is coming out. Remember how he gives the little stage command, too? He says, dim the lights, please.
Right.
And it's just like, who even thinks to write that into a script? You never see anything like that in an animated special, any kind of special. It puts you in this moment of theatricality that you're right in that image, that you're in that cell animation. If you look at the first one, the Christmas one, it's more rough-hewn in terms of its artistry, and they don't really get that together until the Halloween one. But like, if you look at the backgrounds in the Halloween ones, when they're going early out to the pumpkin patch, put that on the DVD or next Halloween or whatever, hit pause on the TV, and you'll see these beautifully burnished purple mottled backgrounds that are just little works of art unto themselves. And then you have the voice actors, and yeah, it just goes to a different level, those early ones.
Talking about a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving here with Colin Fleming on Downtown. And next week, it's not too soon to talk Christmas music and a wide range, everything from Ella to Elvis to the Pogues.
Yes, Ella, Elvis, Pogues, 30th anniversary of Fairy Tale of New York, a Christmas, well, I'm going to call it a modern Christmas carol, unlike any other. Elvis, who was surprisingly good, his music from Christmas actually really stands up. And in terms of Ella, I think we have one of the very few Christmas LPs that you could just as easily put on in April, and its artistry holds plenty of water.
Looking forward to it next Tuesday on Downtown. Colin, thanks as always, and a very happy Thanksgiving to you.
All right, you too.